Well, blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me again on the Word Podcast. We are looking at the sixth psalm, psalm number six. And in the psalms, these are not chapters per se. Sometimes you'll hear somebody say that, but it's not exactly right. Because they're, you know, each one of these, what we call chapters, a standalone psalm. And we've looked at the first verse of this in the previous episode. So what I want to know is this. Have you sort of been thinking about that? Have you been reflecting upon it? Because remember what it said. It's written to the choir master with string instrument accompaniment according to the Sheminith, which may mean like a lyre, a stringed instrument, maybe a melody. We simply don't know. But we know it's a psalm of David. David wrote it. And he says this in what we call the first verse. He says, O Lord, rebuke me not in your anger, nor discipline me in your wrath. So that rebuke me not in your anger is not so much rebuke me not in your anger, but rebuke me not in your anger. Yes, Lord, correct me, rebuke me, chasten me, but not in your anger. As clarified by what he says in the next phrase, nor discipline me in your wrath. And the Psalms, one of the big things about the Psalms is it's poetry, but it's not poetry in the sense that we understand it, particularly in the Western church of our day, okay? It doesn't have rhyme, that kind of thing. The main thing that you're going to see is parallelism, okay? Parallelism. You see that a lot. And right here's an example of it. O Lord, rebuke me not in your anger, nor discipline me in your wrath. See how that rebuke with anger and discipline with wrath are parallel concepts, parallel idea. One's enforcing, reinforcing, giving more detail, giving more explanation about the other. So David has cried out to God from the very beginning, rebuke me, yes, discipline me, yes, but not in your anger, not in your wrath. Then verse 2, the very next verse, he says this, be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am languishing. Be gracious to me, O Lord, because I am languishing. What does languishing mean? The King James says, I am weak. Well, that's a good word, right? The New American Standard says, pining away. That's rather poetic. Wasting away. The Lexham says, be gracious to me, O Yahweh, because I am feeble. I am feeble. The rest of the verse says this, heal me, O Lord, for my bones are troubled. My bones are troubled. He needed healing, and you see this a great deal in the Psalms, okay? All the way through this, I don't know how many times, at least six or seven different times, David says, heal me, Lord, heal me, I need healing. There's something physically that's happening here. The King James says, heal me, for my bones are vexed. That word vexed is a great word. It means perturbed, troubled, as the English Standard says, in dismayed. The Lexham says, my bones are terrified, terrified. So he's saying, Lord, heal me. And we're going to see that this healing is often tied in with some other things, okay? Like 30 Psalm, he says, I cried out to you, Lord, you healed me. Psalm 41, listen to this, 41 verse 4. As for me, I said, O Lord, be gracious to me, heal me. For I have sinned against you. Huh, think about that. Be gracious to me, heal me, for I have sinned against you. Here he says the same basic thing, be gracious to me, for heal me, for my bones are troubled. Because I am vexed, I'm vexed down to the bones. Psalm 41 tells us it comes about because he had sinned against the Lord. So is this David crying out saying, I need what we would call spiritual healing, which is a very sloppy term a lot of times, okay? But it's healing of the inner man, healing of the spirit. Or is he talking about physical healing that was caused because of the sin? And I think the answer is yes. You know, it could be those and a combination of many, many other things. Psalm 103 gives us even more insight. The third verse says this, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases. And you notice how there's a little parallelism going on there with forgiveness of iniquity, who heals all your diseases. Could it be that sin brings forth diseases that need to be healed? And most of us would go, yeah, probably so. But he presses on in verse 3 of Psalm 6. Listen to what David says. My soul is greatly troubled. Well, that gives us a little insight to the previous verse. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am languishing. Heal me, O Lord, for my bones are troubled. My soul also is greatly troubled. So his soul, his emotions is troubled. His body is troubled. Then he says this, but you, O Lord, how long? And this is one of these great little things. It's got a name, and I forgot what the name of it is in the use of language, to where you'll say something, then you let the sentence just sort of trail off without completing it. That's what happens here. But you, O Lord, ... how long? And the idea being, yes, Lord, I know that you can heal me. Yes, Lord, I know that you're gracious to me. But Lord, how long? How long before you do something? Psalm 90 says the same thing, but he's talking about the return of the Lord. Return, O Lord. How long? Have pity on your servants. And that's what David's crying out for. He says, Lord, how long? My soul is troubled. My bones are troubled. I'm languishing. You know, Lord, you can rebuke me. Don't rebuke me in your anger. Don't discipline me in your wrath. Is this part of the rebuke? Is this part of the discipline, the languishing and the physical problems I'm having? He continues on in verse 4. Turn, O Lord, deliver my life. Save me for the sake of your steadfast love. So that gives us even more insight into what the situation is and the circumstance. This is something that is to the point of being life-threatening. Turn, O Lord, deliver my life. Why does he say turn? Well, you're going to see it later on. As a matter of fact, I was just studying another portion of the Psalms for a Bible study here in a couple of weeks. And it's somewhere around Psalm 25, 26 right there. And he says, Lord, turn to me. Turn toward me. It's the same idea right here. Turn, O Lord, turn to me. Deliver my life and save me. And he's asking it of his own volition for his own purposes, no doubt. Nobody wants to die, right? But he says, save me for the sake of your steadfast love. Lord, save me for that sake. Save me for what you want to do and who you are and how you can do it. Then he says this verse. We may not have time to finish this. Verse 5. For in death, there is no remembrance of you. In Sheol, who will give you praise? So are we catching what he's saying right here? He's saying, God, if I die, who is going to remember you? Who's going to give you praise? Because he says in Sheol, the place of the dead, who will give you praise? There's no praise for you, Lord, coming from the place of the death. So deliver my life. Save me and do it for the sake of your steadfast love. Do it to the praise of the glory of your grace. Do it to where you will receive all the glory. But God, in death, there's no remembrance of you. Death doesn't remember you. And those who have died do not remember you in the same way that we do here when we're in this corporeal existence. So, I mean, that's a pretty intense thing right there. If David is crying out to that degree, to be gracious, he's languishing, to heal him. He's greatly troubled. To say, Lord, how long, how long? Lord, what good is it going to be to do if I'm dead? I can't worship you. I can't praise you. I can't do it from Sheol. I can't do it from death. How about healing me, God? It's pretty intense, isn't it? Well, my time's up. Maybe we'll get through the rest of the psalm in the next episode. I'll see y'all then. Goodbye.